Well, thanks, Jeremy and the worship team. Am I on? Can you guys hear me?
All right. It's great to be back again this week. Second time in a row, and to preach the word from the letter to the Ephesians. And as you guys can tell, I'm still kind of sick. Last week I was sick, and almost like stuffed up, and I am still kind of stuffed up. I think this thing just wouldn't go away. I hope that you will this coming week. And anyways, for today, we'll be looking at the very last section of chapter 4 from Ephesians, and which means, we have two more chapters to go before we finish this series. And I pray that God has been using this letter to challenge you or even to change your heart. And as your pastor and as your brother in Christ, one of the many things I pray for you guys is that you guys would really grow into this spiritual maturity that Paul talks about, right? So anyways, having said all that, let's now turn to our passage for today, and that is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 to chapter 5, verse 2. 4:25 to 5:2. So please open your Bible, open your bulletin, and let us begin by reading from verse 25 together. Okay? Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord. Let us bow and begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you will speak to us today as we come to your word. We come knowing that what we're about to hear is not just some opinions or ideas, but instead, they're the very instruction of how you want us to live our lives so that we can please you. And Lord, I also pray that you would give me the strength and the confidence and the ability to preach your word powerfully and effectively so that as to communicate your word to your people here at SFCC. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, as you guys can see, I entitled today's message, you guys can see from the bulletin, I entitled today's message called God's Family Values. God's Family Values. And very soon you will see that this is really what Paul is trying to say here in this passage. God's Family Values. Now, speaking of family, almost every family has rules. Correct? Right? Though they're not always the same from family to family, but there are always guidelines which structure how the family functions. For instance, some families, they take their, they take off their shoes before they enter into another person's building. Other family, they place values on the mealtime, or they have like morning or evening devotions. Some family, they limit the amount of TV they are to watch during the day, or they have curfews before they go to bed. So almost every family has rules, and my family, like my original family, is not an exception. When I was growing up, I just want to share with this, share this with you guys. When I was growing up, I was always told to greet and to address any uncle or auntie that comes, that I come into contact with, even if I don't know who they are. That's one rule that I always remember. My dad will always tell me, you have to greet them. So, whenever I see anybody coming, I have to say, hey, Uncle so-and-so, hi, Auntie so-and-so. That's something that my dad really values. And if I don't address that person, my dad will get really, really angry with me. It's a courtesy or manner which is really important to my father. And not only that, this shows what the Chen family values. It was a rule that we're to abide by in that household. Now, when it comes to family rules, Esther and I, we have been setting up this little rule with our son, Ian. who actually turns a month today. Man, time just really went by like that, isn't it? And the rule that we set up is that Ian has to say grace, has learned to say grace before every meal. Now, Ian doesn't know how to speak a word yet, right? So what we would do is that we will always hold his little hands together, you know, and we will ask, or we will simply sing a simple song for saying grace. And we learned this song from Family Fellowship. And it goes like this. We will sing like, thank you, Jesus, for our food, we will ask your blessings, we will ask your blessings, amen, amen. I mean, we will sing that every single time, right? But I think, you know, we'll probably sing something different, or say something different when he's older. But that's what we do every single meal. But still, like, giving thanks to our meal is something that is really important to, at least to me. And if you, any of you guys, were to join my family, were to change your last name and be part of my family, then you will have to abide and obey that rule. It wouldn't matter whether your former family do things differently, or you guys place, you know, different values on different activities. If you were to become a part of my family, you will have to learn and do that. Now, throughout the letter to the Ephesians, Paul has been trying to drive home the point that through our faith in Christ, we too have become a family in God's hand. We are part of God's family. And therefore, in the same way, there are new behaviors to learn, there are new guidelines to follow, there are new relationships to respect, there are new rules in God's family, right? And now, not all these rules come very naturally for us. In fact, some of the rules from God's family are actually very different of the way that we conduct ourselves before we met and experienced Christ. But this is God's family. And if we were to become a full member of this family, then we must abide by the rules that God has set for us. Now listen to these two verses again, you know, from Ephesians 5, actually 5, verse 1 to 2, where Paul says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Now listen to that verse again from the very first verse that I read. "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." Again, family language. God, Paul is saying, you guys are in God's family now. He is your father. Obey the rules that he has set for you in his household. So with that said, then we'll see that from verse 25 to verse 32 in chapter 4, Paul will be speaking on five family values or five family rules that we're to learn and to live by. So now I want you guys to go and open up your bulletin. I want you guys to look at those things, you know, the blanks that you guys see. And this is what we will do. We will look at each of the rules one by one. And we will do so first by looking at the family values. And then we'll see what we have to put off and then put on in order to obey and live those rules out in our lives. Okay, does that make sense? So we will first look at the values, and then we'll look at the actual things that we need to do. All right, so please, when you have a bulletin, follow along with me. I encourage you to write down those things. So you guys are following along with me? Okay? Now here comes the first rule in God's family. Rule number one, we are one body. That is the value that God has for us. We are one body. Okay? And therefore, we are to put off falsehood and put on truthful speech. Let me say that again. We're one body. That's the value. And therefore, we are to put off falsehood and put on truthful speech. I'll let you guys write that down if you guys want to do so. Okay? So after you finish writing that, I want you guys to turn to verse 25 with me, where Paul says this. I'll read that to you guys. You guys don't have to read it. Okay? He says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." You guys see that? Family value, what we need to put off, and what we need to put on. Now, when it comes to speaking in falsehood or lying, do we really see and believe that this is actually offensive to God? I mean, this is one of the sins that we tend to overlook. We tend to kind of justify or tolerate in our lives. We think it's no big deal to say a lie. We think it's okay to exaggerate the story to make ourselves look better. We think it's okay to lie if it keeps us from getting caught
doing something wrong. We think it's okay to pretend that we know something, which we actually don't, and we do that just because we want to please the other person. And we think it's okay to lie because we don't want to hurt or upset someone that we love. But the reality is that lying destroys unity. That's what Paul is saying. We are one family. But lying destroys unity. It will eat away trust and it will cause conflict in relationships. Ultimately, it is a sin that goes against the very nature of God. For God is the truth. And when we speak in falsehood, whether it's a flat-out lie, whether it's a half-lie or half-truth, or whether it's an exaggeration, we're actually sinning against a holy God. Now, in the church setting, in the fellowship setting, I think the most frequent lie that we tell in the church setting is not the lie when we're caught misbehaving, or when we are doing something wrong, or when we want to avoid consequences. Instead, I think it's a lie about who we really are. Do you know what I mean? The lie we most frequently tell in the Christian community is the false images of ourselves that we portray before other people. It's a mask that we wear so that we can look more acceptable, so that we can look more attractive or more together before other people. It's a mask that we put on when we say, yeah, everything's fine. But when people ask you, but deep down inside, you feel like trash. It's a mask we put on when we're asked to see if there's anything that people can pray for us, and we remain silent. Or we just say something, oh yeah, I just pray that I'll have a, I'll get better from my sickness. But deep inside, you don't want to say anything because you want to hide your weakness or your struggle with people. It's a mask that we put on when we fail to correct the praises that we receive because we know that they do not accurately portray who we really are. That's the kind of lie that we say in the Christian community. And Paul says, such lie destroys relationship. I mean, think about it. The Christian life is about authenticity. It's about talking the talk and walking the walk. But how can we be authentic with each other if we continually to portray a false image of who we are? I mean, we may look like we have it all together, but in reality, we're just a bunch of messed up, broken people trying to travel on this journey. Paul says, we belong to the same family. That's a family value we have in God. We have the same Father in heaven. We belong to each other. Therefore, let us put off falsehood and pretense, but let us put on truthfulness, both in our speech and in our lives. This is what God expects of us in His family. Okay? First rule. We're good? Let's move to the second rule. And that is, in God's family, we love peace. That's a value that we have. In God's family, we love peace. Okay, I want you to write that down first. We love peace. And therefore, we are to put off anger and put on reconciliation. You have a pen? Can you write that down? We love peace, and therefore, we are to put off anger and put on reconciliation. That's rule number two. So after you finish writing that, I want you guys to turn your attention to me to the next two verses, from verse 26 to 27, where Paul says this. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Okay? So this is the second rule that Paul says is expected in God's family, a family that is always characterized by peace and harmony. Now, I don't know whether you guys noticed this or not, but this rule is kind of interesting, isn't it? Because it's all about feeling, or this emotion that we feel a lot. And notice that Paul doesn't command us to ignore our feeling or our emotions. He doesn't say, don't be angry. He never said that. He said, in your anger, do not sin. He recognizes that anger itself is not a sin, for it can be a natural reaction when we face injustice, when we face unfairness. And as Christians, we ought to be angry at certain things in life. We ought to be angry at the issues that are contrary to the heart of God. Any believers who do not become passionate, who are not passionately angry at injustice and the brokenness of this world has become dead in his or her spirit. You see, we ought to be angry when we see a child who is hungry.
We ought to be angry each time we see corruption and fraud. We ought to be angry each time we see discrimination, when we see oppression, when we see racism, when we see exploitation of any kind. Those are the things that we ought to be angry about. And if we're not angry at those things, we have become dead in our souls. Okay? But there is another kind of anger. Another kind of anger that's often expressed over things that kind of just irritate us. Little things that might be inconvenient for us. You guys know what I mean? It's a kind of anger which God says, that does not belong here. It doesn't belong in this family. It's a kind of anger which Jesus talked about. In Matthew 5:22, he says, "But I tell you that anyone who is angry at his brother or his sister will be subject to judgment." It's a kind of anger that took, in the book of James, where it says, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." It's a different kind of anger. It's a kind of anger that is rooted in grudges, in relationships. It's a kind of anger that destroys peace and harmony. It's a kind of anger that weighs us down and tears us apart. Therefore, Paul says, whenever you are angry at someone in your family, in your own family, in the church family, be quick to reconcile with that person so that you will not give the devil any chance to destroy what God has built up. That's what God's family is about. You see, if there's any issues between people, the members of God's family, they will not let it linger. They will not let it rot. They will quickly reconcile with another person. That is what God expects of us in His family. So think about that. Second rule. You guys good? Am I going too fast? Okay, let's go to the third rule of God's family. The third rule says, we share our lives with each other. That is a value that we have. We share our lives, with each other. And therefore, we are to put off stealing and put on hard work. Let me say that again. We share our lives with each other. And therefore, we are to put off stealing and put on hard work. Now, go to the next verse with me. Listen to verse 28, where Paul says this. He says, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." Okay? Now, speaking of stealing, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, right? The Bible talks a lot about theft. And of course, we can kind of talk about shoplifting and along those lines. But today, I want us to focus on a different kind of stealing that happens in the church community, that happens in fellowship. And such practice is not often mentioned or noticed. But I think this is the kind of stealing that Paul is trying to say here. You see, in the church, we can steal through spreading gossips. True? We can steal through spreading gossips. When we talk about people behind their backs, or when we share information that intends to hurt others, we're actually stealing or take away someone's reputation, which we cannot give back. We can steal through spreading gossips. Or we can steal through neglecting the needs in the Christian in the community of Christ. When we see a need in our fellowship, in our small group, or in our congregation, but we choose to ignore that need and walk away, we are actually acting more like parasites, leeching off rather than being a constructive, hardworking member of the life of the church. We can steal through neglect. We can steal through laziness. That's the second way we can steal. And of course, ultimately, we can steal from God, right? We do that when we set ourselves, our own interests before Him. We steal from Him when we refuse to listen to His words or obey His commands. We steal from Him when we choose to ignore our spiritual gifts, which God says, you are to use that to build my church. So that's why Paul says, work hard. Not just at work, not just at your papers, not just at the project, not just try your best to do so that you can have a good SAT score. But Paul says, work hard, even in your fellowship, even in your small group, even in your church. We are a family. And in God's family, we share with each other. We're not just here to receive.
But we're here to give. We're here to contribute. And we're here to serve. That's what God's family is about. Okay? So that's the third rule. Give me a nod so that I know you guys are with me. Okay, thank you. All right. Here comes the fourth rule. And that is, we bless each other. That's the fourth rule. Therefore, we are to put off... Okay, I'm going too fast. Again, we bless each other. That's the value of, you know, the fourth rule. And therefore, we are to put off unwholesome talk. And we are to put on speech that builds up. I hope I give you guys enough space, you know, in the bulletin to write that. Okay, let me write that again. The fourth rule tells us that we bless each other. That's a family value. And therefore, we are to put off unwholesome talk and put on speech that builds up. And after you finish that, go to verse 29 with me, where it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, guys, what is unwholesome talk? What do you guys think? What is unwholesome talk? Well, according to Paul, it is anything which comes out of our mouth which does not build other people up according to their needs. So this may include a lot of things. Unwholesome talk may include falsehood or lie, which we mentioned earlier, right? It may include gossip or talking about others behind their backs, or it can include obscenity or profanity. I mean, that's a pretty straightforward one, right? Or it can include jokes that are kind of questionable. Jokes that are, you know, that are crude, that are racial, or that are sexual. Or it may also include sarcasm or boasting. That's unwholesome talk. But I think the most difficult thing about this particular rule in God's family is just how exhaustive or complete God, you know, Paul's command is. Paul says, let absolutely no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. None whatsoever. He says, tame your tongues. That's what Paul is saying. The book of James speaks about the same thing when he says, the tongue also is a fire, the world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Strong words, isn't it? But it goes to show what God values in his own family. In God's family, we bless each other with our words. In God's family, we say things that, you know, that build each other up. We don't ever put people down. In God's family, we speak truth with love. That's what God's family is like. So that's a fourth rule. Now we come to the very last rule that Paul mentions in this passage. And that is, in God's family, we act like our Father. I'll give you guys a little moment to write that down. In God's family, we act like our Father. That's the value that God has for us. He's like, hey guys, you live in my house, you live in this family, then you are to be like me. So that's a value. And therefore, we are to put off sins. Just very generally, sins. And put on three things. Paul says, put on kindness, compassion, and what's the last one? Forgiveness. You guys got it. All right. So again, let me read that again. We act like our Father. That's a value. And therefore, we put off sins, and we put on kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. Now, go to verse 31 and 32 with me. And let me read that to you guys. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And then he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now notice that start in verse 31, Paul lists a few more sins that needs to be put off in the Christian family. And notice how he doesn't elaborate them. He doesn't elaborate like, oh, what is bitterness about? You know, what is slander? He just lists them, right? And for the sake of time today, I'm not going to elaborate them either, okay? But I want you guys to do something here. I want you guys to take a good look at this list again and see if any of those things apply to you right now in your life. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling,
slander, and malice. Look at that list again. And then once you finish that list, then we read this verse alongside with verse 22, where we hear God saying this to us. He's saying that in my family, under this roof, those things that you just saw in verse 31, they do not exist. You are to put them away. And then you are to put on kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. He's saying, in my family, we do not act rude to each other, but instead we show kindness and gentleness. He's saying to us, in my family, we do not neglect the needs of others. We do not seek our own interest, but instead we put ourselves in the shoes of others and we show compassion and care for people. God is saying to us that in my family, when we are hurt by people, we do not return evil for evil. It doesn't happen like that in my family. But instead, in my family, we return good for evil. We forgive just as I have forgiven you in Christ. Now think about how to apply those things in our fellowships, in our small groups. So with these things said, then we can go back to verse 30. Turn to verse 30 with me. It acts more like a summary statement. And it goes like this. Paul says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." You see, our sin grieves God deeply. And let me say this again, because I want you guys to really hear this. Our sin, when we sin, we do not only offend God, who is holy, who is perfect, but when we sin, we make Him sad. We grieve Him. We grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, I once heard a story of a minister who was trying to communicate the effect of our sin has for God. So before everybody, he set this beautiful table. He just pulled this beautiful dining table in. And on the dining table, he sat with the fine linen, with all the fine china, with beautiful cutlery, all silver and everything. It was neat. It was so neat and perfect. He just set it in front of everybody. And then after that, he had people coming over, and they put the most delicious food that you can ever imagine on the table. It was a feast, you know, like a feast. And when people saw that table, they were like, "Oh, that smells good. That's beautiful." So he had that table, you know, before people. And then he says to us, this is what God has provided for us when we enter into a relationship with Him. He wants to dine with us. He wants to have this feast with us. And then he pulled out a trash bag from the church dining hall, which is filled with leftovers from the previous service. It was disgusting. It was revolting. It was smelly, and it was even rotting because the person who was supposed to take out the garbage forgot. So it was from last week that he held the garbage with. And he held it up and he said, "This is what happens when we sin against God." And then he dumped that whole trash on that table in front of everybody. Our sin grieves God deeply. It destroys our relationship with others. And we're constantly to think that, oh yeah, it's just a little lie that we say. Oh yeah, I have the right to lash out at people when I hurt them, when I don't feel right. Oh yeah, other people are serving. I let them serve. I don't need to use my spiritual gifts. Or that it's okay to say unkind things or dirty jokes or even gossip. But here's the thing. Every time we do that, we throw away the wonderful gift of God and we put trash on that. Every time we sin, we destroy relationship which God has called us to keep. God's family is a family of unity, is a family of peace, is a family where members share with each other, is a family where we bless and we say things to build each other up. Now, do you believe that all these things that we just heard today is what God is expecting us here at SFCC? Each of us, I know each of us may be here for different reasons, but I believe that God has orchestrated all this so that we are all here, either on Sundays or in fellowships. God has orchestrated in such a way that we are all here for a reason. And you know what I love about this church? I know even though we're not big in numbers,
we can actually practice what we hear. You know, there are a lot of people I know, believers, who simply go to mega churches, a couple hundred people. They go there, they listen to the message, they sing beautiful songs with all this awesome worship band who doesn't make any mistakes. They have like, you know, they just go there, they listen to the message, and after that, they just go out. They just leave. They do not join any fellowship. They do not build any relationship with people. They do not join any small groups. That's all they do. They don't contribute to the life of the church. They simply go there to take, to receive, and to consume. But that's not God's way. He has called us not only to himself, but he has called each of us to each other. I want you guys to do me a favor. Just look around you. Look around you. He has called you to each other. So take his words seriously, SFCC. He expects us to practice the love that we say and we sing by loving each other. And we can do that first by confessing and repenting our sins. Brothers and sisters, how has God spoken to you today? Are there any things in your life that you need to put off? Falsehood in your speech? Anger that leads to sin? Stealing or neglecting the needs of the church? Unwholesome talk? Bitterness? Rage? Brawling? Slander or malice? Are there any areas in your life which you know you are grieving the Spirit right now? If so, confess and repent. Ask God to give you the strength to put on this new clothes that's been given you through your faith in Christ. So right now, I'm just going to ask the piano to come up and play. I want you guys to take the time to speak to God. How has God, you know, been speaking to you through this message today? Okay. Go ahead. Speak with him. He is listening right now. Perhaps God is speaking to you personally, something that you have to continue to put off in your life. Maybe it's individual sins that you know you're grieving the Spirit of God. Or perhaps you're here today, you feel like God is speaking to you because you have sinned against him and his family here at SFCC. Put off falsehood in our speech. Put off anger that leads to sin. Put off neglecting and stealing. Put off any unwholesome talk that we talked about. Any bitterness, any slander or malice. The beautiful thing about God is that when we confess and when we repent, even though we have dumped the garbage on that table, what he does is he will take that thing away and he will replace it with another feast. All neat and perfect. How is God speaking to you today? We'll respond to him and talk to him.